From Moscow to Capitol Hill now, President Zelensky from Ukraine addressing the US Congress.
Good morning, Mr. President. Good morning, Madam Ambassador, who is with us this morning. Madam Ambassador. Ambassador Makarova. Mr. President, it is my honor to present to you the Congress of the United States, which has great respect and admiration and appreciation for your courageous leadership. Members of Congress, I have the high privilege and distinct honor of presenting to you the President of Ukraine, Volodymyr Zelensky. Slava Ukraina! Slava Ukraina!
Great to hear us.
My colleagues, Slava Ukraina! Slava Ukraina!
Glory to heroes. Thank you very much. Madam Speaker, members of the Congress, ladies and gentlemen, Americans, friends, I am proud to greet you from Ukraine, from our capital city of Kyiv, a city that is under missile and airstrikes from Russian troops every day, but it doesn't give up. And we have not even thought about it for a second. Just like many other cities and communities in our beautiful country, which found themselves in the worst war since World War II. I have the honor to greet you on behalf of the Ukrainian people, brave and freedom-loving people who for 8 years have been resisting the Russian aggression. Those who give their best sons and daughters to stop this full-scale Russian invasion. Right now, the destiny of our country is being decided. The destiny of our people, whether Ukrainians will be free, whether they will be able to preserve their democracy. Russia has attacked not just us, not just our land, not just our cities. It went on a brutal offensive against our values, basic human values. It threw tanks and planes against our freedom, against our right to live freely in our own country or future. For happiness, against our national dreams, just like the same dreams you have, you Americans, just like anyone else in the United States. I remember your national memorial in Rushmore. The faces of your prominent presidents, those who laid the foundation of the United States of America as it is today, democracy, independence, freedom, and care for everyone, for every person, for everyone who works diligently, who lives honestly, who respects the law. We in Ukraine want the same for our people. All that is normal part of your own life. Ladies and gentlemen, friends, Americans, in your great history, you have pages that would allow you to understand Ukrainians, understand us now, when you need it right now, when we need you right now. Remember Pearl Harbor. terrible morning of December 7, 1941, when your sky was black from the planes attacking you. Just remember it. Remember September the 11th, a terrible day in 2001 when evil tried to turn your cities, independent territories, in battlefields, when innocent people were attacked from air. Yes, just like no one else expected it. You could not stop it. Our country experienced the same every day, right now, at this moment, every night, for 3 weeks now. Various Ukrainian cities, Odessa and Kharkiv, Chernihiv and Sumy, Zhytomyr and Lviv, Mariupol and Dnipro. Russia has turned the Ukrainian sky into a source of death for thousands of people. Russian troops have already fired nearly 1,000 missiles at Ukraine, countless bombs. They use drones to kill us with precision. This is a terror that Europe has not seen for 80 years, and we are asking for a reply, for an answer to this terror from the whole world. Is this a lot to ask for? To create a no-fly zone over Ukraine to save people? Is this too much to ask? Humanitarian no-fly zone, something that Russia would not be able to terrorize our free cities. If this is too much to ask, we offer an alternative. You know what kind of defense systems we need, S-300 and other similar systems. You know how much depends on the battlefield, on the ability to use aircraft, powerful, strong aviation to protect our people, our freedom, our land, aircraft that can help Ukraine, help Europe. And you know that they exist and you have them, but they are on Earth, not in the Ukrainian sky. They do not defend our people. I have a dream. These words are known to each of you today. I can say, I have a need. I need to protect our sky. I need your decision, your help, which means exactly the same you feel when you hear the words, I have a dream. Ladies and gentlemen, friends, Ukraine is grateful to the United States for its overwhelming support, for everything that your government and your people have done for us, for weapons and ammunition, for training, for finances, for leadership in the free world, which helps us to pressure the aggressor economically. I am grateful to President Biden for his personal involvement, for his sincere commitment to the defense of Ukraine and democracy all over the world. I am grateful to you for the resolution which recognizes all those who commit crimes against Ukraine, against the Ukrainian people, as war criminals. However, now, it is true, in the darkest time for our country, for the whole Europe, I call on you to do more. New packages of sanctions are needed constantly, every week, until the Russian military machine stops. Restrictions are needed for everyone on whom this unjust regime is based. We propose that the United States sanctions all politicians in the Russian Federation who remain in their offices and do not cut ties with those who are responsible for the aggression against Ukraine, from State Duma's members to the last official who has lack of morale to break the state terror. All American companies must leave Russia from their market, leave their market immediately, because it is flooded with our blood. Ladies and gentlemen, members of Congress, please take the lead. If you have companies in your districts who finance the Russian military machine leaving business in Russia, you should put pressure. I am asking to make sure that the Russians do not receive a single penny that they use to destroy people in Ukraine. The destruction of our country, the destruction of Europe. All American ports should be closed for Russian goods. We peace is more important than income, and we have to defend this principle in the whole world. We already became part of the anti-war coalition, a big anti-war coalition that unites many countries, dozens of countries, those who reacted to, in principle, to President Putin's decision to invade our country. But we need to move on and do more. We need to create new tools to respond quickly and stop the war, the full-scale Russian invasion of Ukraine, which began on February 24th. And it would be fair if it ended in a day, in 24 hours, that evil would be punished immediately. Today, the world does not have such tools. The war of the past have prompted our predecessors to create institutions that should protect us from war. But they, unfortunately, don't work. We see it, you see it. So we need new ones, new institutions, new alliances, and we offer them. We propose to create an association, U24, United for Peace, a union of responsible countries that have the strength and consciousness to stop conflicts immediately, provide all the necessary assistance in 24 hours, if necessary, even weapons, if necessary, sanctions, humanitarian support, political support, finances, everything you need to keep the peace and quickly save the world, to save lives. In addition, such association, such union could provide assistance to those who are experiencing natural disasters, man-made disasters, who fell victims to humanitarian crisis or epidemics. Remember how difficult it was for the world to do the simplest thing, just to give vaccines against COVID to save lives, to prevent new strains. The world spent months, years doing things like that much faster to make sure there are no human losses, no victims. Ladies and gentlemen, Americans, if such alliance would exist today, that is U24, we would be able to save thousands of lives in our country. In many countries of the world, those who need peace, those who suffer inhumane destruction. I ask you to watch one video of what the Russian troops did in our country, in our land. We have to stop it. We must prevent it, preventively destroy every single aggressor who seeks to subjugate other nations. Please watch the video.
So if you're just joining us, this is Capitol Hill, Congress being addressed by the Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky on a video link. He's now showing them a video, I guess, juxtaposing the Kyiv and the Ukraine that he knows, almost looked like a sort of tourist video at the start, with the reality of what it is now. Whilst that is playing, I will just tell you about some of what President Zelensky has said. He actually started by invoking, for an American audience, past events, things like Pearl Harbor and 9/11, telling the Americans, remember those moments, remember what those were like for you, how distressing, how life-changing they were. And in response to that, he said, we need you right now. President Zelensky then also talking about, as he has consistently asked for, a no-fly zone. He said, is this too much to ask for? And if it is too much to ask for, well, we've got an alternative. We need defence systems. We need powerful aircrafts to protect our people. The same sort of things we have heard from him. No-fly zone to defend the skies is what he asked for, but we know that the US and NATO have consistently said that would not happen. President Zelensky calling on all US businesses to leave Russia and to make sure, in his words, that Russians got no money, not a single penny, I think is what he said, to keep inflicting the war as they are. We'll just apologise as well. Obviously, these pictures coming in unedited, and there are some distressing images there. The reality of what is happening in Ukraine at the moment. Looks like that's finished. Let's go back to President Zelensky.
And in the end, to sum it up, today it's not enough to be the leader of the nation. Today it takes to be the leader of the world. Being the leader of the world means to be the leader of peace. Peace in your country doesn't depend anymore only on you and your people. It depends on those next to you, on those who are strong. Strong doesn't mean weak. Strong is brave and ready to fight for the life of his citizens and citizens of the world, for human rights, for freedom, for the right to live decently and to die when your time comes, and not when it's wanted by someone else, by your neighbor. Today, the Ukrainian people are defending not only Ukraine. We are fighting for the values of Europe and the world, sacrificing our lives in the name of the future. That's why today the American people are helping not just Ukraine, but Europe and the world to keep the planet alive, to keep justice in history. Now I'm almost 45 years old. Today my age stopped when the heart of more than 100 children stopped beating. I see no sense in life if it cannot stop the death. And this is my main mission as the leader of my people, great Ukrainians. And as the leader of my nation, I am addressing the President Biden. You are the leader of the nation, of your great nation. I wish you to be the leader of the world. Being the leader of the world means to be the leader of peace. Thank you. Slava Ukraini.
Glory to Ukraine.
That's the end of proceedings from the US Congress there. Volodymyr Zelensky ending his address in English, notably. Most of his address is given in Ukrainian, but he spoke in English in a direct plea to President Biden right at the end. You are the leader of your great nation. I wish you to be the leader of the world, to be the leader of peace. Shihab Bratanzi is our correspondent on Capitol Hill on this Wednesday. Shihab, good morning to you. Let's go through some of that. I mean, it was the US Congress is a famously divided place at the best of times, but total unity shown there for President Zelensky.
Right, but as you suggested in your earlier summation while that video was playing, a slickly produced video, as is often the case when Zelensky addresses a legislature, you can tell that this is also not just addressing the members of Parliament or Congress in this case who are gathered there, nor even President Biden in this case, but also to the people of America as a whole. It's clearly captured the imagination of many here in the US. So when Zelensky asks, is it too much to ask for a no-fly zone? And if it is too much, then can we get a surface-to-air missile system? The S-400 is being discussed. This is also to increase that grassroots pressure on members of Congress and President Biden. The fact is, though, as you mentioned, as far as a majority in Congress and President Biden are concerned, a no-fly zone is too much, because that could lead to an all-out war with Russia. It could lead to a shooting war with Russia, which could lead to nuclear conflagration, you know, mutually assured discussion. And it's interesting, when we're thinking about public opinion in the context of this speech, there was a very interesting poll this week from CBS. When those being asked were asked point blank, do you believe in a no-fly zone to help Ukraine? A majority, 59%, said yes. 41% said no. But when it was explained to Americans that a no-fly zone would be seen as an act of war by Russia, that reverses, and it becomes 38% in favor and 62% in opposition. So, again, Zelensky not explaining the complexities of a no-fly zone. This isn't just a matter of planes flying and protecting humanitarian corridors. This is actively bombarding potentially Russian surface-to-air missile systems and potentially shooting down Russian jets, which could mean all-out war. And as Jen Psaki said, the White House press secretary, the day before, it is, as far as Joe Biden is concerned, he has to look at the whole picture, and it's not in the national security interest of the U.S. to have World War III with Russia. Having said that, though, it's clear that Biden was expecting as emotionally charged speech as we did see. So we are going to see Joe Biden speak in a couple of hours now to itemize the latest tranche of $800 million he's going to announce off weapons aid that will be going to Ukraine, and so they will be trying to get ahead of them, this message that, look, we are helping, but we don't want World War III.
No, of course. Can you give us a little more detail then, Shihab, on not just what is to come, but what the US has already provided? Because that's obviously what they will point to when they say, sorry, no no-fly zone, but this is what you have got.
Right, well, it's interesting because the White House, I have already itemized, actually. They went into great detail in the last day as to what they've already given. So, you know, 600 Stinger anti-aircraft missiles, 2,600 Javelin anti-tank missiles, 5 helicopters, 3 patrol boats, 70 other vehicles, 200 grenade launchers, it goes on, shotguns, machine guns, 40 million rounds of ammunition, body armor, helmets. They've been going into great pain to say, look, this is what we have given. And in fact, what the Biden administration has been saying is, we don't think, and of course another request from Zelensky has been, give us jet fighters. And the Biden administration keeps saying that we don't think that's what they need. They already have a sufficient inventory of that. They probably don't have enough pilots anyway. A lot of these attacks are coming from Russian airspace anyway. But whereas surface-to-air missiles, or rather Stinger missiles, that's anti-aircraft, anti-tank missiles, are working. And as I said, though, That very public bit of bartering we heard from Zelensky might be something that we do hear more about today. There were some reports, and this is something that the U.S. has been actively considering, which is to give, or trying to get to Ukraine, S-300 surface-to-air missiles, which could attack Russian planes. So that would be through a third country. These are Soviet-era or Russian-era, Russian-made surface-to-air missiles, which Ukrainians have already been trained with. So there would be some sort of facilitation to get those in the hands of Ukraine. But all the time, the U.S. is weighing a very particular calculus based both on international law and on intelligence. So that is, at what point do we become a direct participant in this conflict and therefore become a direct target of Russia and potentially lead to the conflagration which everyone wants to avoid? And so that's based both on international law as to what constitutes actively intervening in a war, but also on intelligence as to what Vladimir Putin will feel is the red line that NATO mustn't cross. And up until this point, that has been jet fighters, as far as the U.S. is concerned, at least facilitated by the US and surface-to-air missiles, but we're getting some sense of maybe surface-to-air missiles, that calculus might be changing, but we'll hear more about that in the coming hours, I think.
Okay. Shia Bertanzi's on Capitol Hill as things wrap up there after that address from Volodymyr Zelensky, the Ukrainian president.